If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, please. And we're going to be preaching. I'd like to get done with this morning or finished, but I'm just not sure how it's going to go. But we will be back tonight at 6, God willing, and hear some more good singing. And I was up last night till about midnight looking at something that had been on my heart for 2 or 3 days. And it just, Brother Steve, it wouldn't click. I know you know what I mean. It just seemed like, wow, Lord, this just been on my heart. It's been on my heart. And earlier this week, I'd been reading some in the book of Psalms and out on the front porch. It's a real peaceful place where I live. And I got up this morning and I, just some reason or another, it still wasn't clicking. I was in Philippians. And I turned back over here and it clicked. I don't know if you know what that means to a pastor or not, but it means everything to me to know that I've got the mail for this hour, for this group of people that have met together in the house of God. Let's look at Psalm 74, and I want to read, just for the sake of time, one verse of Scripture, then we're going to be kind of all over it here in 73, 74, maybe a little bit in 75, and I don't say that to scare you, but just looking at these first Psalms of Asaph. Asaph wrote the 50th Psalm, and then he wrote Psalm 73 through 83. Asaph was one of those that headed up one of the guilds of musicians in the first temple. He knew what it was for the glory of God to fill the house. Asaph was a Levite. He was one of David's chief musicians. And Asaph, his name means one who gathers together. Oh, glory to God for those in the family of God that God uses to gather. You know, Jesus told us in one place, he said that we're either gathering into his sheepfold or we're scattering abroad. How are we living our lives? Is it attracting people to the things of God, or is it detracting and taking away from the things of God? I believe it's important, and we'll look at it together. In Psalm chapter 74, if you'd stand with me if you're able, if you're not, that's fine, in reverence to the Word of God. In verse number 20, the Bible said, "Have respect unto the covenant." There's a lot going on in the world today and a lot going on in the nation today that is due to the disrespect of God and His covenant, His Word. The Bible said, "For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty." If you'd pray with me and pray for me, I'd like to preach this morning on deliverance from dark places. Deliverance from dark places. You may be seated. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you today for the privilege to stand here at Bible Way, the church, our Lord, that I have the privilege to be called pastor in. Lord, it is a great privilege. It is also a great responsibility. It is truly too much responsibility for a man. A man must have the help of God. I ask you, Father, today to help me that I might be a help. Lord, it's a joy to look out and see faces that are returning. And Lord, to see those, our Father, that, Lord, have their eyes on Jesus, have a heart for God, and have their ears opened to what the Spirit of God would say to the churches. Lord, we pray you'd bless every church this morning. Our Lord, where the truth is being proclaimed, where Jesus is being lifted up high and holy as he is. I pray today, Lord, that you would, Lord, bless your people. May we leave here today and be able to say, without fear, favor, compromise, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I must say hello to a young lady before I start preaching this morning. I love the Holy Spirit. When you forget something, he can remind you. Amen. Sister Rachel, I love you. You're a blessing to me. Good to see you this morning. Well, now it's good to see you this morning. Amen. I'm bound to look like a robot up here. Everything hanging off of my head, trying to make it through the service. Amen. But I appreciate you being here so very much. I know Sister Rachel prays for me. I know Sister Rachel prays for this church. I know in heaven, beloved, it's not always going to be about those that stood in front of the congregation. God's going to reveal those that stood behind the congregation and knelt behind the congregation. This morning, the Bible is talking about here, this psalmist, Asaph, talking about the dark places of the earth. It doesn't come really unless you kind of dig in a little bit, but there's another dark place being represented here in these first Psalms of Asaph. There was not only a dark place in the earth that the psalmist was concerned about, but Brother Steve, there was a dark place in his heart. There was something going on in his heart that he knew it wasn't right. And let me say this today to those of you that know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. Guard your heart. Because I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. We can be living in a land where there's much darkness and darkness around us, but Jesus is telling his disciples, don't let that darkness get in you. Don't let that trouble get in you. We might be in trouble, but we don't have to let the trouble be on the inside of us as God's people. I've read the psalm, and I don't know exactly what God wants to say altogether, but there's a picture being painted of this dark place, and I'll show you what I mean in the earth and then in the psalmist Asaph's heart. If you look in verse number 4 of chapter 74, the Bible said, thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregation. They set up their ensigns for signs. Watch verse number 5 and look at how this applies to what's going on today. A man was famous as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. This is amazing to me. I think Brother Grizzle said this to me early on in our ministry here. He said, Pastor, the answer to every problem's in that book. And I believe that. But I want you to think about what's going on in the world today as businesses are being burned down, as windows are being broken out, as people would be so disrespectful just so they could carry out a pair of shoes or carry out some jewelry or carry out a watch. I like what Apple did. I don't have one of their phones. I've just gotten used to the Android, and it's hard to teach the old dog a new trick. But anyway, what Apple did, they stole all those phones and watches. They just shut them down. It don't matter where they go, black market or where they go, they're of no use to anybody. But I want to say this. It's a crying shame what's going on, amen? And it's a dark time and a dark place. I saw this morning where Australia, the protester, rise. Let me separate this. What the police officer did was dead wrong. And what the police officer did needs to be fixed. That needs to be fixed. Nobody, I said nobody, deserves to be treated like that. I don't care what color you are. Nobody does. But beloved, the rioting and the looting is nothing but a reflection of the darkness that's in men's hearts. And Australia and then Great Britain, they're rising up. You say, preacher, why is that important? Because the darkness, beloved, is going to cover the earth. And Asaph sees here a dark place. And the Bible said, watch this, it amazed me. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. You remember, if you saw any of the news, maybe you remember a black lady. And she was standing out in front of her business. And she said, this is my business. You've destroyed my life and my livelihood. She said, why don't you just choke the life out of me? That's what she said. You say, Pastor, what's being painted here? What's the picture? A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. Brother Steve, this is a picture of a man that's building something. A man that's gone to the forest. A man that's gathered the lumber. It made me think about my son that bought a piece of property and then went in there with a chainsaw and sawed the trees down and then hired a man with a portable sawmill to saw the tubifores and the tubisixes and fabricated the house that he lives in. I've never been so proud of a young man in all of my life. Here's the Bible said a man was famous according as he had lifted up. There are people in America that have spent their life savings and spent their life building a business and trying to be a positive influence in society and trying to be a help. And yet now there are drug stores that have been burned down. The drugs have been robbed. And the people in that community can't get the medicine that they need. They can't get the clothing that they need. They can't get the groceries that they need. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with the Bible? Asaph is seeing a dark place. Even in the days of Noah, the violence was prevalent in the land. The Word of God said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. How we ought to be looking up as the children of God and realizing the King is coming. Watch this now. The Word of God said in verse number 6, but now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. There's two peoples in any society. One are those that want to contribute, those that want to take the axe and go to the forest and cut the tree down and build something for the glory of God, and others that want to leave buckets of bricks along the road, that want to leave pallets of ball bats along the road. You say, Pastor, you're meddling. No, I'm not meddling. I'm preaching. We're living in a dark place. You see, it doesn't mean that much to us here in our town because it hasn't come to town yet. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen, the sodomy problem started away from us, but it's here now. You notice what's going on in the big city. It'll come to the country after a while. There is a difference. Now, if the governor up there in Virginia has his way, then Virginia would be disarmed. But in Tennessee, it's a little bit different. They have come to businesses in the last week or two where there was 3 shotguns on the inside of the business, and for some reason, they felt led to go on down the street. I'm telling you, the darkness, beloved, listen, is in the earth, just like Asaph said it was. Men love darkness rather than light. That's why most of the time they can't wait on nightfall to begin what's going on in their heart. He said, now, Pastor, I don't understand how we can get deliverance from the dark places. The first thing I see, it's the dark place of the earth We'd have to have our head in the sand not to know that we're in trouble. Thank God there's a God in heaven. Thank God He has a people on the earth. Thank God we can wrestle against principalities, against the rulers of darkness, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And beloved, let me just say this to you. You may not like what I'm about to say, but it doesn't matter. It's still true. The spiritual wickedness is not only in the rioters and the looters. Beloved, there have been policies that have been pushed in America, and they're still pushing them. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, they're having three memorial services for one black man. I'm not against that lost his life. But what about the 77-year-old black man that lost his life trying to protect property? Is anybody going to have a memorial service for him? It doesn't matter, brother and sister. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And Asaph saw that it was a dark place. Watch this now. Go over to chapter 73. I'm not going to go through the entire chapter 74, but you can read it over and over and read through verse by verse, and you can see the dark place in the earth. But in chapter 73, there was another danger. It was the dark place in his heart. The Bible said, he starts off the psalm saying, truly God is good to Israel, even such as are of a clean heart. Look at the next word. But, isn't that where we are? I would be faithful to church, but. I would tithe, but. I would be a witness for Christ, but. I would raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but. Asaph said, God is good to Israel, even to them that are of a clean heart, but. He's going to reveal something here. The Bible said in verse number 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Beloved, over here in chapter number 74, he's looking at those that are taking the axes and tearing down what somebody else has built up. And he's saying it's a dark place in the earth. And now in chapter 73, he's looking at those that have prospered. The wicked have prospered. They don't go to church. They don't tithe. They don't love God. They have no time for God. They have no use for God. And Asaph is looking at them and how they're getting along when the house of God's being destroyed. And there's something going on in his heart that we need to guard against in this day and hour that we live in. He said, my steps were almost gone. My feet were almost gone. My steps well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They're corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Beloved, listen, you can see clips of videos, and I'm telling you, listen to me carefully, beloved. It's nothing but cursing and foul language and using God's name in vain. And beloved, listen, it's a heart problem. Out of the mouth, listen, is proceeding the things that are coming from the heart. It's a heart problem. I want to say something to you before I forget it. It's the grace of God, it's not you throwing a brick through somebody's storefront. It's the grace of God, it's not you with a ball bat trying to bust somebody's head or bust into somebody's business. You say, preacher, what happened to you? I'll tell you what happened to me. God got a hold of me before this world finished me off. It had a good start. But thank God for grace. The Word of God said here, they set their mouth against the heavens, their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, waters a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? Is there any knowledge in the Most High? Let me just tell you this. Listen to me carefully. There's some things that's went on in the darkness that the police probably will never solve. But I promise you this, nothing went on in the darkness that will not be exposed one day before the God of heaven. Nothing went on in that darkness that God doesn't know about. The Word of God said here, how doth God know? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain. Asaph, one of the leaders of the music for David in the house of God, is saying, I'm wasting my time. I've wasted my life living for God. I've done it all in vain. Brother Ralph, you've been on this road a long time, and you know old Slewfoot comes along every once in a while and whispers, it's all in vain. Why don't you just stay home? Why don't you just give up? Deliverance from the dark places. Beloved, they're there. They're there in the earth. They're there in the heart. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, in other words, Asaph is saying, Brother Steve, I dare not let this come out because it's going to offend God's people. There are some things, beloved, that we ought to just keep bottled up before the Lord. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you this. Asaph realized he was in a place of leadership. He was the one that was supposed to have a song in his heart, even the new song that would bring glory to God. Yet, when he looked around in the earth, and when he looked around at those that were living around him, and he saw the wicked prosper, he was fighting a dark place in his heart. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. In other words, it hurts. Beloved, let me say something to you. If you're hurting, there ain't no use to act like you ain't hurting. We can't help what hurts us. Something will be said that hurts us. Something will be done that hurts us. We'll see something going on in somebody's life that hurts us. We'll see something going on in the community that hurts us, or in our country that hurts us, or down at the school that hurts us, or down at the workplace that hurts us. But what we can do is respond correctly to that hurt. What I like to do is try to keep my hurt at the foot of the cross. When you're hurt, carry it up to Calvary. Just kneel down there and look up. There'll be blood dripping from his feet. You'll be able to hear him gasping as he pushes up to try to get a breath. You'll see the blood coming from his hands. You'll see the blood coming from his back. You'll see the blood coming from his brow. You'll notice the patches of beard that have been pulled out. You'll notice his eyes are swelled shut because he's been beaten, bruised, and battered. You'll notice that his joints, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody just with something as simple as a shoulder that's out of joint. Can't you probably seen that somewhere along the way? It's ugly, is it not? It looks like your arm's coming out right there. All of his bones stared at him. He's gaped open. It really looks like a piece of meat hanging there. I'm telling you, if I take my hurt to the foot of the cross, I'm ready to wad it up, put it back in my pocket, and go on another mile for the glory of God. Especially when I hear him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Beloved, I'm telling you, there is darkness. We live in a world where there's darkness all around. But we need to be careful not to let that darkness get in us. We need to be careful. I've learned this. One of the greatest things you'll ever learn about darkness is the darker it is, the more difference just a little light will make. I was in Farmington, Missouri. I believe that was Farmington A. We had a Farmington A side, a Farmington B side, which was a different prison. ERDCC, that was a place where they evaluated the men and placed them into the Missouri prison system. But we did all those prisons from Farmington, a prison at Pelosi. I was in the prison one night. A thunderstorm came. And Brother Steve, the lights went out. I had about 15 men inside. They had to sign in. About 15 were still standing in line. I have a radio. I don't have a gun. I don't have a knife. I have no way of protecting myself. All I have is a radio and this little button that's an alarm that you can push. And if you push it, there's supposed to be some guards come running. I was responsible for the men. The lights went out. And just as soon as the lights went out, there was an emergency light, like on the wall over there. It came on. Oh, my goodness. You know, the plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Oh, what a relief. Those lights came on. I said, men, come on in. They came in. They sat down. And the lights went out. I guess Brother Richard hadn't changed the battery in it. Amen. About that time, I'm talking about so dark, you couldn't see your hand right there in front of your face. There was no street lights or no lights in the prison. The whole place was dead. About that time, Brother Wayne, one of the men had a cigarette lighter. He went, oh my goodness. I didn't know you could get that much relief from one little flame in the middle of 30 men. If you had, listen, the cameras can't work. Cameras can do a lot of things, but it takes a sophisticated camera to see in the dark. The cameras can't work. If you had somebody in there that had it in for somebody else, or somebody that didn't like that hard preaching that had been going on all week, I'm telling you, that little light. I remember writing a prayer letter, Brother Steve, and telling about the meeting. This is what I said. Only time in my life that I was glad that I was in the smoking section. Glory to God. Thank God that man had a lighter. They come in a little bit later. It was 20 minutes at least. Long time. And escorted the men out. And we had to leave the prison and the lights still weren't on. Something malfunctioned with the generators that are supposed to pop on. But I'm telling you, beloved, what God wants you and I to do that know Jesus is be a light in a dark world. God wants to deliver us, not just to the darkness, but God wants to deliver us through the darkness. You say, Pastor, what happened to Asaph? What happened? Look in verse number 17. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Beloved, listen to me. You and I have no business thinking only as a man thinks. You and I are supposed to have the mind of Christ. We have the Word of God. And Asaph went down to the house of God. He got in the sanctuary. He said, oh, Lord, I understand it now. I don't need to be concentrating and focusing so much on what's going on around me now. I need to realize there's an end. And in the end, we win. In the end, hallelujah, I'm headed for a place where there is no darkness. Jesus is the light of the city. No moon, no sun. For Christ Himself will be the light. Beloved friend, this morning, there's a dark place in the earth. You and I need to be careful that we don't allow that dark place to settle in to our heart. I believe with all of my heart. We'll go into some more tonight. I'm not going to get finished today. I'd take it on if we wasn't having Sunday night service, but I'd like for you to be back at 6 o'clock. Amen. Even our first-time visitors. I'm glad Brother Rick's still grinning at me. Amen. Oh, I'm taking it easy on him. If Brian was here, it'd be a lot worse, wouldn't it, Brother Rick? Amen. I promise you it would. But, beloved, listen. Don't let what's going on in the earth discourage you. Get your eyes on Jesus. Realize that even in the days of Asaph, Brother Steve, isn't that something? Some are using the axe to build. It doesn't matter what it is. You can use a TV for God's glory, or you can use it for wickedness. A computer, a phone, you name it, beloved. You can get in a car and use it for God's glory, or you can use it for wickedness. What God is showing us is that same axe. Some are using it to build. They're going to the woods and getting some trees and cutting them down and building something for the glory of God. You put that same axe in somebody else's hands and they're breaking out a window with it. They're tearing down what somebody else has built up. I love that song, Brother Ralph, Through It All. God didn't just bring us to it. He's going to bring us through it. Now, I'll tell you this. This pastor doesn't believe we're going through the Great Tribulation. But I do believe this. We ought to be concerned about those who are going to go through it. If they don't get saved by the grace of God, listen to me. This is not taught much anymore. Now, by the way, that series of books and movies, Left Behind, they teach something that's not true. That father and that daughter that rejected Christ, I'm right on that, right? It was the father and the daughter that rejected Christ. They get saved in the tribulation. This Bible does not teach that. This Bible teaches that all them that lived ungodly had pleasure in unrighteousness. They rejected the truth of God's Word. It teaches that God is going to send them strong delusion and they will believe a lie and be damned. That's what the Word of God teaches. You tell me something. Why would somebody that rejects Christ now want to receive Him then? Makes no sense. Then, likely cost you your life. Likely, I believe the Bible teaches you won't be able to trade. You won't be able to sell. You say, preacher, you really believe in that mark of the beast? Honey, it's already set up. Yeah, they can put a little chip under here and you got to scan it before you can buy anything. They're wanting to go to a cashless society where, beloved, listen, it all just, they add it and take it just by you running a chip across the scanner. They've already tried it out on the dogs and cats. Y'all know all that, don't you? Amen. God's people ought to be excited. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, is coming. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. You say, Pastor, I don't know why it's going on the way that it is. Why the whole world would come together. Read your Bible. One world currency. One world government. One world religion. I'm glad I have something besides religion, Brother Josh. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've been born again. And heaven is my home. Thank God. Asaph, the leader, one of David's chief musicians, he went through a valley. And you know what brought him out of the valley? Looking at the end. Looking at the end. Looking at the end. The very worst that a child of God will ever experience, they're going to experience it in this life. But the very best that someone that does not know Jesus, the very best they'll ever experience is in this life. For the child of God, the best is yet to come. For those that know not Christ, beloved, listen, the worst is yet to come. I believe with all of my heart this morning that Asaph knew what the darkness was. Just in time, here come the Holy Spirit, took him down to the house of God, and he said, I considered their end. When I went to the sanctuary, it made the difference. You know what? God knows we need the sanctuary. God knows that we need each other. God knows that we need singing, that we need preaching, that we need fellowship. That's the way He made us. Amen? As His children, I'm glad God knows what we need. Brother Ralph, y'all come back and sing that song for the invitation, brother.